Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sibanye Holdings Limited's interim results presentation. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions when prompted. For the benefit of other participants who have joined via the HD web phone, please ensure that you've given a microphone permission to make yourself audible before accessing the question queue. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'd now to hand the conference over to the Investor Relations Officer, Sakhile Ndlovu. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Judith, and good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for participating in today's interim results call. To take us through the presentation is our Sibanye Holdings CEO, Neil Crawford-Lazarus, who will be joined by the Sibanye Cement CEO, Peter Fourie, and Metair CEO, Kenneth Capes, for the question and answer. The interim results presentation is available on the homepage of our website. However, if you are unable to download it, please do not hesitate to send me an email to sakhile@sibanye.co.za, and I'll forward it through to you as soon as possible. At this point, I'd like to hand over to Neil to proceed with the presentation. Over to you, Neil.
Thank you very much, Sakhile. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this interim financial results presentation of Sibanye Holdings for the period ended 30 September 2020. I will be running through the presentation. Please, at your own leisure, have a look at the first slide with a disclaimer on it. I'm not going to spend any time on that. Go straight to the agenda. We're first of all going to have a look at the financial overview, an operational overview, and then an outlook. There's also appendices under Section 4 of the agenda. That is just for your own reference. If you needed any more information on the debt scenario, how it was actually, how it came about, and then what the current position is, we've got some slides setting that out for the guys that does not see or heard the story before. There's also a cost breakdown for cement in that appendices. Moving on to slide 3, the financial salient points. Yes, the pandemic lockdown impacted profitability. We saw a Metair Mixed Concrete sales revenue was down 135 million rand. The first half of 2020 saw 425.8 million rand of sales revenue, and that went down to 291 for the current year. However, the very next line, the EBITDA margin, went up by 2.4% due to a very quick reaction from the team on cutting costs and reducing the fleet and maximizing every possible cost-cutting exercise. So EBITDA for the six-month period, 27.4 million as opposed to a 29.9 in the previous year. EBIT is 15.9 million at 5.5%, and the net profit after tax for Metair was 7.5 million compared to the 7.7 million in the corresponding period for 2019. Sales revenue for Sibanye Cement, 883 million, as opposed to a first half 2019 of 996, also down by some 110 million rand. The EBITDA margin of 6.8%, or at 60 million rand, that is mainly due to the fact that during lockdown 5, we were completely locked down and no production or no sales took place during that period. And then during the subsequent period of lockdown level 4, we were operating at 50% of capacity. That impacted those results severely and the reason for those numbers therefore. EBIT for the margin was null at a loss of 1 million rand for the 6 month period, and the net loss after tax was 83.7 million rand, compared to the loss of 81 million rand in the previous year for that six-month period. That 83.7 million translated to a 30.1 million rand equity loss that we accounted for in Sibanye Holdings, as opposed to the 7.8 million that we showed in the previous year. The net loss after tax for the group is 29.6 million, indicating that there was a set-off of the Metair profit and the head office listing cost and maintaining that portion. Basic loss per share there for 11.65% and headline loss per share 13.47 mainly due to sales of the fleet that would impact on that line of reporting. Moving on to slide four, the sales volume recovery post-lockdown supported SEPSEM's earnings. Let's just first have a look at Metair for the first 6 months. Revenue 32% lower, 33% decrease in concrete sales volume, increase in operating margin from 4% to 5.5% due to a reduction in expenses and income from sale of assets. Volumes have normalized by the end of the interim period, but demand continues to be muted due to the low construction activity. It's not exactly the same that we've seen in cement. We saw a high demand for cement in the last 3 months or last 4 months. But as you also know, cement is a subsidiary of DCP, and therefore we report on them only for the first 6 months of the year, which was substantially muted due to the activities during that period, and we only saw the recovery in the post-reporting period, i.e. the third quarter, where numbers looked substantially different. Revenue 11% lower year-on-year, with a sales volume decrease of 8.5%. That was mainly which we saw a extension of the previous year in the first quarter, ending March 2020, and then, of course, the impact of COVID in lockdown of April and a softer lockdown during May. The impact of the lower price Falcon brand was also, of course, not comparable in the first half of 2019. Sparkle Cement implemented price increases of 5 to 9% in January and February 2020 for bulk and bag cement, respectively. Increases in bulk prices held, but bag prices were discounted due to intense competition. Bulk volumes recovery after the lockdown was at a slower rate, thereby impacting the revenue mix, and that's why, you know, you'll see that it doesn't quite make sense if you're looking at the revenue, the reduction and the price increase still showing the movement in turnover that we experienced. Excuse me. On the SEP whole side, head office expenses decreased by 8% year-on-year to 6.9 million. From a previous 7.6, mainly due to COVID-19 related reduction in remuneration. Moving on to slide five, and looking at the cash flow from the group, this of course excludes cement, which is only equity accounted. Started with just below 5 million, generated nearly 11 million through operations, interest income was negligible, finance cost of 8.2, and then net capex inflow. Two items in there, the sale of assets, trucks, mainly 8.2 million, and the Midrand head office that we entered into a sale and leaseback transaction with of 18.5. So that was a 26.7 million rand income, and then limited outflows of capex, showing a net inflow of 24.5 million rand. We contributed 15 million of that towards the Metair debt, which was at 92 million at year end. We've reduced that to 75 million, which was a requirement from the banks to just balance the EBITDA that we've seen over the last 2 years with the outstanding debt. Having done that, we were able to after that negotiate the repayment of the remaining 75 million under very favorable terms, we think. We are only paying interest until the end of the year. As from January, we'll be paying interest and capital at 1.85 million per month, which compared to the 3.326 that we've been paying previously, is quite a reduction in the call of debt service requirements. This will continue at 1.85 million until March of 2023, when the outstanding balance would be 45 million rand. So that's the profile for the next 2 years. We ended the year with a cash balance of just below, and then after 6 months, the cash balance is just below 10 million rand. We look at slide six, it just shows how Metair has reduced debt. And I think it's a story that the regulars have heard over and over. We have been concentrating on debt repayment in both operations over the last 3 years. We've seen Metair debt coming down from the 270 million to 75, and as I said, going down to 45 over the next 2 years. The renegotiation and the the reduction of the debt to the 75 million did come at a cost. Our current debt service cost is the debt cost is JIBOR plus 5.25%. That comes down as the EBITDA improves, but it is 125 more than what we were previously paying, which was JIBOR plus 400. But of course, fortunately, on the flip side, we've seen the repo rate come down by 300. So on balance, we are still paying 1.5% less than what our debt service cost was a year ago. Looking at the cement side, cement has repaid over R1 billion towards their debt. The 2.4 is quite currently sitting at 1.03. There is now 125 million that is owing to the other shareholder, Dangote Cement PLC. They have made a contribution similar to the 15 million that was required for Metier. The banks also required a shareholder contribution of 125 on the cement side in order to again reach a scenario there where cement is also only paying interest until the end of the year and then repaying this 1030 over the next 3 years. And that breakdown is also in the appendices if you're looking for more information on that. Operational overview, overshadowed by COVID and recovering from that, restructuring and reduction of expenses were prioritized. Cost saving initiatives included lower transport cost by 5% by enhancing utilization and reducing the fleet, cancellation of CapEx for the current year, as well as limited CapEx envisaged for next year, and then reducing of compensation cost by 6%. There were no bonuses and no increases during this period. Savings enabled Metier to fulfill its bank debt commitments in spite of the significant reduction in sales volume due to the lockdown and implementation of strict health and safety protocols has limited the employee exposure to COVID-19 virus and potential downtime. And we continue to operate in this mode. On the cement side, also a revised CapEx plan by cancelling or postponing projects, optimized operational processes such as power consumption, plant reliability and outputs. SEPSIM applied for the principle of no work, no pay during lockdown. Bonuses were reduced and other employee financial benefits. Salary increases were frozen until December 2020. Some of the work, no pay scenarios were did benefit from the TERS payments, so it wasn't a complete no payment scenario. And we also, during the 50% employment or activity period under lockdown 4, rotated the staff so that everybody had the opportunity to work 50% of the time. The cement pricing slide, we've changed that one a little bit to move the index point to the fourth quarter of 2019, which was the point where we really had our average price, our bag price, and our bulk price all on the same level, just showing more, I think, how the gap was closed, which was created in 2015-2016 when Mumba entered the bulk market and that price went down substantially. Over a period it came back, and since the beginning of this year we've seen that the bulk prices has improved more rapidly than the bag prices, but it's not as a bigger gap as it would have been if we kept the index right back at the beginning of 2017. So hopefully a slide that gives you more insight to specifically how the movement in pricing has been. Slide 12, the ITEC process is still continuing, and we are still awaiting an answer and a ruling from that. And we have seen imports come back in the third quarter of 2020. As you will see in the last bullet as well, in the September 2020, 713,000 tons have been imported, which is 4% increase year on year, and approximately 92% of the imports came from Vietnam, and 71% imported through Durban, which is also where we have our Falcon brand competing. Move to slide 13. This is now post-period for cement, but still within the period that we really reported on, but we'll only reflect on this in our full year results. The third quarter saw revenue of 782 million rand, which was a 35% increase year on year. The third quarter EBITDA margin of 19.4 compared to the 18.9 of Q3 2019 due to increased volumes. And the net profit after tax in the third quarter was 64.5 million rand, as opposed to the 4.8 million rand loss that we saw last year. The quarter that last year included our kill and stop, so that normally depresses the results a little bit. So it's not a complete like-for-like comparison, but still a substantial improvement for the third quarter in the current year as opposed to last year. In the current year, in the current 9 months, the kill and stop was in the first quarter of this year. Comparative revenue for the 9 months ended September 2017 was 1.7 billion, an increase of 6% year on year. The outlook, slide 15, constrained trading environment to continue. Cautiously optimistic about demand. GDP growth forecast revised downwards, implying a tough operating environment for the next 12 to 18 months. But we have seen unprecedented bagged cement demand from May. As you've seen in our third quarter results, we are not sure what the longevity of this rally is. Government-planned infrastructure program can provide significant impetus for building materials in the medium term if implemented. And yes, we are seeing some awards of the projects. Hopefully more of them will be coming through and things will be looking up going forward. In the meantime, we will continue to focus on reducing the debts. Just 2 years to go on both of these to get it to probably corporate debt scenarios going forward. And there will be continued vigilance on cost control. Ladies and gentlemen, that takes care of the presentation that I'm going to speak to. As I said, there are appendices for those of you that require more information on cement cost breakdown as well as history on the two debt scenarios. And I think we are ready to move straight into questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone or the keypad on your screen. At each time, you'll hear a confirmation tone. Following this process, we'll place you in the question queue. For the benefit of other participants who have joined via the HD web phone, please ensure that you're given your microphone permission to make yourself audible before accessing the question queue. If you decide a question has been addressed and you should withdraw your question, you're welcome to press star then two and you touch your phone to remove yourself from the question queue. Just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. We'll pause a moment while we wait for the question queue to build. We have a question from Charles Boyle of Titanium Capital.
Morning, Neil, Peter, Kenneth. Thanks for the call.
Hi, Charles.
A couple of questions, if I may. You talk in your results about the blender activity, and it says it was severely hampered by the shortage of extenders in May and June. Can you maybe just give some background to that and how long you see that persisting and what's happened to blender activity subsequent to that?
Peter, do you want to take that?
Yes, I will. Thanks, Charles, and good morning.
Morning, Chief.
We have seen some conditions at Eskom that limited the supply of ash during the period, specifically May and June, but it did continue beyond that as well. So it is still under pressure. We've also seen a reduction in ArcelorMittal slag production. So overall, that has still continued to limit the supply from blenders. And then one last factor that happened in the last quarter is one of the competitors that have supplied quite a lot of the bulk cement to blenders ran into some production problems or extended production problems, which also reduced some volumes. So some of the additional volumes that we found in the market certainly came from the market that was at higher levels, but it was also as a result of the reduction of blender activity. We certainly think it will come back again, but in the short term future, just with the way Eskom is operating, I don't see that happening very quickly.
Just to be clear, is that Eskom on a planned maintenance? Is that Eskom on unplanned outages that's generating plant issues? What's the cause of that?
The main cause is planned maintenance. Eskom has intensified their maintenance program, and I think they've published some information about that. So it's taking units off, you know, much more often to do maintenance on them, and certainly ash is then a secondary consequence of bringing down units.
Got you. Thank you. I don't know if this is a Neil or Kenneth question. I'm a little surprised. I see you sold trucks where you got proceeds of $8.2 million and seem to have generated profits of $6.5 million from the sale of trucks in Metier. I'm just curious, who was buying trucks? I would have thought as an industry, given activity levels, there probably would have been a surplus of kit around. Maybe if you can just clarify how you generated that level of profit.
Thanks, Charles. So the first thing is that we sold, I think it was 17 vehicles in total.
Okay.
And we actually decided, I already made that decision kind of on the 1st of April. So I got stuck in immediately trying to offload before anybody got scared and started not to buy vehicles. And of the 17 vehicles, I think we had something like 11 buyers. So it was no one specific. It was spread around one vehicle, two vehicles here and there. And I assume that they just took it on because of the their own replacement schedules. I didn't actually ask them, so I'm not 100% sure why they took them on. But for us, it was a matter of we're not utilizing our fleet properly. And I think the fact that we sold them, we're now saving a significant amount on transport just because we're getting proper utilization out of our fleet.
And Kenneth, that's not an in and an out in the sense that you've sold it to guys that you'll subcontract to or pay them higher prices in future to recover their costs. So was it a genuine third-party sale?
Yeah, that's correct. We actually reduced the fleet by 17 vehicles. So we had a couple of vehicles which we sold to some of our subcontractors, so they stayed with the fleet. But we actually, the sale of those particular vehicles were 17 vehicles out of the fleet altogether.
Got you. Neil, just maybe one last question. Your trade and payables picked up quite significantly to 108 million. That's off 90 million last year. And I'm thinking that your activity levels are lower. I'm assuming some of your suppliers gave you extended credit to permit that, or was there something else that drove that?
Charles, no. I think we probably just looking at March. You're comparing to the year-end number, right? You're not comparing to a year ago.
No, I'm comparing to a year ago.
Oh, a year ago. Sorry.
So in September, I mean, March number is much lower. So last year in September it was 90 million. By March it goes down to 72. So I imagine there's some seasonality in that.
Yeah,
so comparing it year on year, it goes from 90 to 108. And with the lower level activity, Was that agreed terms of extension with suppliers or? Just trying to understand how that took place.
Charles, not intentionally. I'm trying to also just at the moment not seeing the picture clear in my mind exactly as to, you know, where the year end was. Because often it is a matter of, you know, how quick debtors comes in as well, because we're trying to balance what you have available on overdraft, what you can pay out and not. And then I think it might have just been the timing of the cash flow at that point in time. I know that we've gone through that in the sense that the last month, you know, all creditors were paid before close of the month. It might have been in a month leading to this recovery that one or two creditors were paid 1 day late. Nothing more than that, and as I said, that has come out in the wash since.
So just to be clear, since then you're settling creditors on due terms now. You're not extending creditors to try and fund the business.
No, absolutely. As I said, the last month we kind of paid everything before close of business. You know, the enough debtors came in to pay all the creditors before month end. And if there was a management of the cash flow prior previously, it would have been for 1 or 2 days, 1 or 2 creditors. But it's not. It's something behind us.
Got you. Perfect. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. And all the best for the second half. Hopefully conditions are better.
Thanks. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just a further reminder, if I ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. We have a follow-up question from Charles Boyle of Titanium Capital.
Sorry, guys. No one else is asking. I'll ask. I know I've asked this before, but is there any reason you couldn't change the year end of Sapaku Holdings to match that of SEPCHEM?
Charles, not really, and it is something that we are considering from time to time again. I mean, I was looking at it probably during the last months as well. I think, you know, to date it has worked for us because we have two different sets of auditors, and it just makes sense to have a signed set of financials from Cement that we bring in as one line equity, which our auditors can just review the files and trying to do both of them at the same time, unless you have the same auditor, which would also make that different. It's not something that's casting concrete, but it's not something that we also feel we have to do, you know, in the current year.
At some stage, it would be useful. It just makes understanding the business easier, and there wouldn't seem to be any critical reasons not to do it.
Yeah. No, there's definitely no not. It will, as I said, initially, my auditors recommended that because at that stage they were two different sets of auditors, and BDO, which was at the time Grant Thornton or probably still PKF, just said, you know, it will be much easier to have that audit wrapped up. And have the equity accounting line come in one go. And that's why we stuck with it.
I got you. And sorry, one more clarification, if I may. The Dangote shareholder loan, there are no fixed dates of repayment on that. Is that correct? Is it anticipated that would remain in place until the bank project debt? I think there was an undertaking it would remain there until the bank project debt was settled.
That is correct. We've got an intention to pay interest once that loan has been finalised as that, because it current, you know, it initially came in as a equity deposit, but there was an agreement that it would be converted to a loan. It has not yet. They're working on it at the moment. So once that is done, we will pay the interest, but the capital will be subordinated to the bank funding, and I think the cash flow will also require us to look at the bank funding first. But as I say, or if you look at what we're looking at in November of 2022, you know, a corporate funding going forward that might include that 125 looks like a quite a feasible option, but it's something that we will get to at the time.
Anthony, just want to make sure I'm following you completely. So you're saying that the capital of Dangote Cement's loan is subordinated until the project finance is paid down?
Yes.
In interest, you're saying you, to date, you haven't paid and there hasn't been a call to pay that?
Yeah.
But they could call for payment of interest before the project loan is repaid or not?
No, they cannot, but we would like to, because the compound interest is something that runs away if you don't pay it.
Oh, I got you. So in other words, the banks are comfortable that you pay the interest provided that the bank project finance is being serviced?
Yes, absolutely.
And you're saying, just to close that, come 2022, you could refinance that, the balance of the project loan into corporate lending and settle the Dangote loan at that point in time, potentially?
Potentially. And again, sorry, Charles, you must remember there's two loans. There's the one that was there from the start when we decided to extend the capacity of the plant, and then there's the 125, you know, the last payment that was made. Specifically talking about the 125. I think the other one, which will, because of compound interest, be close to 600 at the time that the banks have been paid, is something that we'll need to address at the time. But that has always been a subordinated loan with regards to interest and capital.
Oh, so in other words, we shouldn't just add the 125 into the original loan. That's what you're saying, which I was.
That is being treated differently, yeah.
I got you. Very useful. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate that.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ilham Ishmael of Prudential Investment Managers.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. My question is around the utilization rates for SEPSEM, and then what does that current utilization rate mean for the market in general from a supply-demand perspective? And then adding on to that, what does that mean for pricing going forward?
Thank you. So at the moment, the utilization rate is very high, and the reason for that is some of the producers of mothballed some of their facilities during the period, especially during the period of the lockdown, but even before that, because the market was quite depressed. Now, to bring that capacity back up, takes quite a bold decision, or requires quite a bold decision, because you need to re-employ people, first of all, but then secondly, just the cost of unmothballing the facilities is a second decision. Now, we are aware that there are some of those facilities that are being recommissioned at the moment. So and you would have seen there have been articles written about the shortage of cement. It's actually a temporary shortage, and at the time it was more influenced by transport shortages as well. We've seen some transport strikes, and we've seen some deterioration in rail transport. So it will take some time to overcome that, but then also to see some of the mothballed plants to get back up. So at the moment, those plants that are running at full capacity. Obviously, that will put pressure on prices to, you know, just normal market dynamics will make it easier to recover some of the costs and to get price increases through in an easier way than looking at the past where we were running at 70% capacity utilization.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. On your touch phone to place yourself in the question queue. Sir, we don't seem to have any further questions on the lines. Do you have any closing comments?
Thank you. Not from my side. It's Kira. I don't know if you want to just close.
Yes, sure, Neil. Thank you, everyone, for participating on this call once again. And if you do come up with questions later on, please don't hesitate to send them to me. My contact details are on the last page of the presentation, and we'll be able to get back to you as soon as we can. Otherwise, thank you very much for attending the call, and have a good day.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.